It's always a delight and a joy to be here at ED and to be here at Watermark. And good, they gave me a little freedom so I can move around, which is what I want to do. And I am excited about talking about this tonight because I'm living this stuff. I just got back from a week-long trip at 1 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning, back to Colorado Springs after our flight got delayed and delayed and delayed again. And now here I'm here, and then right before that I was on another trip, and I got 60 emails waiting on me right now when I get back, and I've got texts buzzing in my pocket right now. Can anybody relate to this? I'm being tweeted and emailed and Googled and everything else, and I'm going, okay, now Jesus, where are you in all of this stuff? It's like today we are at the bottom of this huge avalanche of information and smiley faces coming at us. And what in the world do you do with all of that to not go nuts? And so I'm very, very excited to come and to talk about this tonight because this is where I live. Like Bill said, I have the privilege of serving as the Associate U.S. Director for the U.S. Navigators. And so we've got 1,700 staff around the U.S. and another 400 missionaries in probably 50 countries around the world. And so we've got stuff coming at us all over the place. I look around a room like this. I can imagine some of the kind of jobs some of you all are in. And you've got people coming at you and emails coming at you and texts coming at you and stuff coming at you all the time. So that's what I want to dig into tonight is how do I deal with filtering this avalanche of stuff. I'm from Colorado right now, excuse me. But this avalanche of stuff that's coming at us all the time, and how do we do this? Well, what I want to suggest to us tonight is that there are some simple principles that can help us with the avalanche. And I want to suggest to us tonight, in the minutes I want to take here, that we start with God to understand who we are and why we are here. And when we keep a few things clear, it forms like a point of a triangle right here that can help keep things moving around us so that we keep a focus where we need to be focused. And we don't always get every I dotted and every T crossed. And I want to dive in tonight because I'm not going to give you a little seminar on time management. You can go on www.timemanagement.com somewhere and get that. But I really want to get into what kind of principles from God and His Word can anchor us in this deluge of information. Just as the gospel writer Matthew says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So how do we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness so that the things we really need are going to be in order? And so I want to start by saying, before we get to dealing with the tyranny of urgency with all of these things coming at us, I say we start with God. As those who are followers of Jesus, we have to always start with God. Who is God? I want to mention three things about God that I think are essential for us if we're going to be able to be a steward of our lives in terms of our time, our commitments, and so forth. The first thing is that God is good. God is good. Now, this is not just a little platitude. It's important for us to realize, to come to know and experience, like the psalmist says in Psalm 34:4-8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who trusts in Him." God is good. That means when God is good, He doesn't heap on us more than we're able to carry. Now, I don't know about you, but there's some percentage, probably over 50, where I just feel like I'm overwhelmed. All this stuff is coming on me. I cannot do it all. What do you do with that? It's at times like these that I have to know that the one who's over the universe is a God who is good. Not a God who is up there saying, "Let's put one more on him and see if he falls." You know, that's not what God does in heaven with the angels to entertain himself. And so I have to know that God is good. I love Matthew 28:28-30, where Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now that's what it means to follow Jesus in the midst of a hectic job as an executive, or running your own company, or being a part of helping somebody run their own company. That's the life that Jesus, if we learn how to walk with God, to know who God is, then in the midst of the pressure of a job, you see, because when we know whose we are, we can act differently. We can respond to pressure differently. I have to know that God is good and that He is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The second thing about God that's important to know is that God is sovereign. He is sovereign. God is in ultimate control and has authority over everything. That is why God can say in Romans 8:28, "For I know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." And that's why God can give us confidence that though what I'm in the middle of right now looks really nuts, God says, it doesn't feel good, but I'm going to work it out together for good when you keep your focus on me. Thirdly, it's important for us to know that God is love. That God is love. He is a father and not a CEO. That's what's important for us to know in our relationship with God. He is Father. Now, the reason that's important is that, and y'all, please, I want to ask you, let's get this. You see, because I am as significant and secure as I can be in God. And that is the most important relationship in my life. If that which is closest to me is secure and significant, this is the most important relationship in my life, and it's not based on performance. Now, we have to perform it at work. There's no question about that. We have performance reviews and so on along that line. And God will be with us in that. But our relationship, the most important relationship in our life, is not based on performance. It's based on what Jesus did and who He is. And the relationship now that we have with Him. So I just want to encourage us that ultimately what drives a lot of my decisions, a lot of what I do with my time, a lot of that can come down to a faulty foundation of who God is in my heart. What do I really believe about God? That drives more of my decisions than what I can often be aware of. Now, let me just mention a couple of things, secondly, who God is. But the second thing I like to talk about is my relationship with Him. Jesus is Lord. And so in Luke 6:46, Jesus makes a comment that's very, very interesting. You kind of love, but you don't kind of love how Jesus can kind of get right down to the point. And in Luke 6:46, He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then don't do the things I say?" Now that's wonderful, because it's very clear. And so that if Jesus is really Lord, then if he is Lord in my life, then I am following Him. He is my authority. And when it comes to making decisions, when it comes to serious decisions and choices in my life, then the most important thing to me will be what He has to say about that decision. What does God value as I weigh out what my values are in a decision? What does God's Word have to say about the variables in this decision? For me, if I'm seeking first the kingdom of God, then I'm going to want to know what the kingdom values are as I weigh a decision out in my mind. And that's why God wants and invites us to dig into His scriptures, because the word, it says in Psalm 119:105, is a light unto my path and a lamp to my feet. It lights the path in front of me. And in decisions, and in times when we're trying to make hard decisions about using our time and using our time well, it's like we can't see far enough to know what the best place is to put my foot down next. And when we turn the scripture on, it lights the path far enough to let us know what the next step is. So in my relationship with Jesus, He is Lord, and I want to follow Him. As Lord, I want to know His word so that it can shine the light in front of me. Now, when we look at this issue of Jesus being Lord, I want to talk about one of the big expressions of Jesus being Lord, which is the use of our time. And I want to read two passages of scripture for us as we dig into this main part. And one Old Testament and one New Testament. In the book of Psalms, in Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, the psalmist here writes a passage for us that is very, very important in this issue. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. And in Psalm 90, verse 12, this is actually a psalm of Moses, of all people, where he says, "Teach us to number our days aright, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days. Teach us to use our time in how we make decisions, how we use our day, so that we can apply our hearts to gain wisdom. How we steward our life, how we decide to use our time, will determine whether we gain wisdom or whether we drift into foolishness or not. And the psalmist here is exhorting us to apply ourselves so that we can gain wisdom in how we live. So this is Psalm 90. Now let's flip over to the New Testament, and I want to look at Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians 5, verse 15, right in the middle of this beautiful place, this beautiful passage in Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul says in verse 15, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Be careful, he says, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. And so, for those of us who are following Jesus, the invitation for us is to be wise in how we live. Now, that means, there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. A person can amass a lot of knowledge. All you need is more gigabytes on your hard drive and you have knowledge. But wisdom is the ability and capacity to apply knowledge correctly to the best end and the highest end. So just because a person has knowledge does not necessarily mean they will have wisdom to know how to use that knowledge rightly. And what the Lord is inviting us into here is, the Apostle Paul says, to be wise. To be wise in the use of our time. And one of the concepts, we're not going to look in Matthew 25 now, but if you remember the parable of the talents. You know, the master's going to go away and he gives, you know, five talents to one and two to this one and one to this one, and he goes away. But it's interesting, when you read the opening words of that parable, it says that the master, the owner of the house, took his property and entrusted it to the servant. So see, the question for us is, do I view my time as mine, or is it really something that belongs to God? And the reason I say that is because in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, it says that our very bodies belong to God. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, but it says, and we belong to God and we are not our own. And so it's important, if Jesus is Lord, then one of the dimensions of lordship is ownership. And so, do I view myself as a loose cannon who can do whatever I want, Or do I see myself as one who says, Jesus, you are Lord, and I choose to submit myself under you because that's a place of protection and nurture. And of all things in the kingdom, it's a place of freedom. If we want to be free in Christ, we don't go run out here and do whatever we want, because Proverbs 14:12 has already said, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So that's, if you want to just go run out and be free, go ahead. That's where we're going to end up. But for me to come under Jesus and his wisdom and his protecting hand, then I will soar and be free. And so this is what, so what I want to talk about here is that when we talk about using our time, I want to encourage us on a couple of priorities. I want to encourage us on a couple of priorities for us in terms of using our time. We have this avalanche of stuff coming at us all the time. And unless you and I establish what is important in our life, the things that are important will get choked out by the things that are urgent. Does that sound familiar? And so let me share a couple of things that both I see in Scripture and I've experienced in my life that I think are priorities for those who are seeking first the kingdom and its righteousness. The first I want to mention is what I want to call devotional life, the devotional life of the believer. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, verse 4, David says this: one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now remember, David was a king. Kings have a lot of stuff coming at them. And yet David said the one thing he does, that's, when you say one thing, that's a word of priority. David is telling us what his priority was. And he says his one priority was to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, to do two things: to behold the beauty of God and then to inquire in his temple. And so I would like to suggest to us tonight that if there is one thing you do, like all of the big time management books and stuff will say, the first thing you do is you put the big rocks in the jar first so that all the other ones can fill in around it. And I want to suggest to us that the first rock we put in our life on a weekly basis and a monthly basis is the rock of our devotional life. Now, let me break this down in a couple of different ways. Because you see, David talks about beholding the beauty of God in worship and in knowing God and then inquiring in his temple, which is just when you study that phrase inquiring of the Lord through 1st and 2nd Samuel, you see over and over again where David went to God and said, do I go up and fight this battle or what? God says, hold on, get up there, wait till you hear the sound of the troops coming in the top of the mulberry trees, and then charge them. You guys go this way, get the other guys to go that way, and I got you covered. So it's inquiring to get wisdom to know what to do. But to do that, we have to make time. We have to discipline ourselves. And so I want to encourage us that if we are going to walk with God in this area of lordship, that we put the rock of our devotional life in the jar of your week first. That's in terms of our quiet time or your devotional time. Now, some of us are morning people. Some of us may not be morning people. I'm not going to say you have to do it in the morning, or Bill's going to run around and jerk your 2-7 book from you. You know, that's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about daily meeting with Jesus in the Word and in prayer, where I'm coming before God to worship him, because when, like David said, when you behold the beauty of God, you walk into work from a different perspective. When you are seeing the beauty of a God who is a God of joy, a God who is perfect, a God who is wise, and then when you walk from there into a boss who is mean and cruel and ugly and everything else, you are ready to meet that person. Because you are full of a God whose kingdom rules over everything, including that boss. And God has a way of fixing bosses' cabooses. And when he fixes them, he fixes them good. But if we are walking with God, if we are seeing and beholding the Lord, praising and worshiping God like we do in a devotional time, a quiet time, it's like stepping into an elevator that lifts us up to see life from the perspective God sees it from. And now all of a sudden, unlike Israel who saw the enemies as giants, you begin to get in the elevator which shrinks the enemies down to the size of a grasshopper, which is their real size before the God who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now that's why the life of a true believer who is living the Lordship of Jesus out. Lordship means I do what you say. That means, Lord, I put the first thing in my jar, which is my time alone with you. And if I miss it this morning, I may get a little bit in the car, but Lord, before I go to bed, let's get some time with you. But that daily time with the Lord is so very important. But I'd also encourage us to try to look at your calendar and put in some extended time with God. What I try to do once a month, and I do this pretty regularly, is I will spend a half day with the Lord or a whole day with the Lord once a month. Usually it's a half a day. Like, and for me it's usually Saturday mornings. I just block it off and I'll either go somewhere or out, we're in Colorado and I'll go out in the wilderness or something but I'll spend time alone with God. And when I go out there, there's books written out there. There's people here that can help you to know what you do. What do you do with 2 hours alone with God? You know, throw darts at the trees. I mean, what do you do? So, but it's wonderful. And then, you know what happens when you spend 2 hours with God? Do you know what happens? You discover 2 hours isn't enough. That's what happens. Because you begin to see into your heart and God begins to show you. Do you know why you are upset at the person in the cubicle next to you? Do you know why you are upset at them? It's because you have not forgiven this person over here and you are harboring bitterness in your heart. And if you will come and confess that bitterness to me, you will deal with this problem effectively. And the person who spends time with God because they said, Lord, you are Lord, I will obey you, I will walk with you, therefore, time with you is a priority, so it goes in first. That's what priority means, what is most important. But it's not just things like this, but it's also what I would call spiritual disciplines. Because we just got done with the Winter Olympics. And you know, you watch these folks, I was watching that ski cross thing. I'd kill myself just even walking on the course. I'm just going, this is nuts. And yet these folks, they don't, and the really sickening thing is how easy they make it look. Do you ever notice that? You get out there and try that stuff. Well, now some of y'all could probably do it. But you get out there and it's because they spend hours and hours doing the disciplines, doing these little stupid exercises on one foot. You ever seen how stupid some athletes look like? Until you see them perform. And you watch the beauty and the grace and the power of an athlete who is in perfect shape and ready to compete. And that's what God wants us to do. And the way we get there is we put the rock of spiritual disciplines in our weekly jar. So that I find ways. I have a little, y'all are probably aware of the topical memory system. It's 60 verses. I memorized these back when I was at A&M. Well, I'm learning it in Spanish now. I'm in DPAC right now. But I've tried different things and the only way I can do it is I keep losing my memory packs. You know, I lost about 6 of them traveling all over the place. I leave them in airplanes. I mean, somebody's getting really good time in the scripture, but it's not me. So I finally figured out I'm not going to tear them out. I'm going to leave them in the book and just carry the book around with me because then I probably won't lose it. And that's worked. I've had it for a whole year and it's great. But figure out what you need to do to memorize the word, to begin to pray for the world, to pray for the city, to pray for your community, to intercede, to do the spiritual disciplines, the word, the prayer. community and fellowship with other believers where iron sharpens irons, and learning how to bear witness for Christ in the normal relationships in our lives. So priorities are things that we put first in our lives. We put those things in so that the emails and all these other things will not crowd them out. I want to conclude with a couple of things that I've seen that I think can help in dealing with some of the real, the core level issues. See, because oftentimes when we are wondering, why is it that I just cannot make time to do this? I find the reason I can't make time to do this is because I'm trying to solve a problem at the level of the branch instead of at the level of the root. And I keep cutting the branches off and wonder why the problem keeps growing back, because I'm not dealing with the root. And I'd like to just mention a couple of things here as I get ready to close that are things that I found very, very helpful in terms of stewarding my time in a way that reflects Jesus as Lord in my life. And the first one is faith. Now that might sound strange to you, but see, it takes faith to rest. Have some of y'all discovered that? It takes faith to rest. If you don't believe God is able to use the 50 to 60 or 40 to 60 hours a week you work, then you will have to work all day Saturday and all day Sunday because you just have to get this done. It takes faith to trust God to rest. And I would encourage us that one of the reasons we're so frantic is because we're not trusting God. And the scripture tells us in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. One of the reasons we don't have shalom, wholeness, and peace in our life is because we are not trusting God. And the reason we're so frantic and feel like we gotta do, I mean our thumbs, we have to bring our thumbs to the massage therapist because of all our texting. The reason we don't rest is because we are not trusting God. And we need to trust God. One of the big issues in trusting God at this level is that when we're managing our time like this, what we're really dealing with is the expectations of other people. And that's what we're dealing with. And that's why the second thing I want to say, in addition to faith, is fearing God. Because if I fear God, then I don't have to fear other people. If I don't fear other people, then guess what? I don't have to send that email. I don't have to text them back right now. I can set my phone down and have dinner with my wife. A novel idea. Or dinner with myself or with my friend. And it's okay. I don't have to be accessible 24/7. There is place in my life to set this apart and trust God because I fear God. And thirdly, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And one of the ways we get wisdom in life, the wisdom to know what is best, is that we are fearing God and we are not complicating and clouding up our lives by trying to please everybody in our life. And that's why we can't make decisions about use of our time, because we're trying to keep everybody happy. Or we're trying to make sure that they're over here and this is this and all this. And who wouldn't go nuts trying to do all of that? But when we fear God, it has a way of simplifying our life and bringing us to a place where we can say no and yes to an audience of one. And that audience is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So as we think about lordship in the tyranny of the urgent, I want to encourage us tonight that Jesus is Lord. And that we honor him as Lord when we place him in the first place of our life, especially tonight we're talking about our use of time. and that we can, in very practical ways, apply our hearts to wisdom. We can come to a life where we are believing God, we're growing in faith, we are trusting God, so that we can say no, we can stop, close the book, close the notebook, unplug the computer, set the cell phone aside, and we can rest. We put the big rocks in the jar by faith first. We fear God and not people, so we can say no. And then as we do that, we grow in wisdom so we can choose the best things to do with our time that bring glory to our Father in heaven, not so that we can gain His acceptance, but because we already have it and we want to please Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You tonight that You are so intimately acquainted with our lives. And Jesus, You invite us into the most amazing relationship with You. And Lord, You don't necessarily take away all of this avalanche of information coming at us. But Jesus, You come right into the middle of it. And what a joy it is to be with You, Jesus, and to look over and to see Your face full of peace and joy. You're not frantic. You're not frenetic. And you're not worried. Jesus, thank You so much that when You come into the franticness of our lives, You bring shalom. Help us, Lord, to make place for You by putting priority in our lives on being alone with You, spending time with You, listening to Your word, and being with You to speak to our lives. Guide us, Lord, to be those who are walking with You in all we do in our lives, for Your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.